T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, time for your chance to win $1,000. It's the 560 WQAM signing bonus contest. Your chance to take home $1,000. Text the word VALLEY to 72881 and you're registered. That's VALLEY, V-A-L-L-E-Y, to 72881 right now. If you don't win this time, your next chance is at the top of the next hour. This is a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. VALLEY, the 8 a.m. code word. And let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, by the way, and bring on Ira Winderman, who's always powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733.
Ira, good morning. How you doing?
I am doing good and trying to figure if this is the end of another LeBron James era.
Well, I'll tell you what. How you reading into that one? I thought there was going to be a split. I thought it was going to be 1-1 going back to Cleveland. Celtics, boy, they took that 6-point game and just dominated late in that game. What do you think? What's going to happen now?
I think the depth of talent is apparent. I think LeBron James has never felt as naked until the last time he left Cleveland to come to Miami. And when I look at the options who could step up and help him, it's not like Kevin Love didn't play well yesterday. It's not like Kyle Korver didn't hit a few shots. It's that Boston keeps coming in waves. It's like they take turns almost. Like, okay, Tatum's going to do this quarter. Rozier will do this quarter. Al Horford will be the finisher. And it always has to be LeBron for Cleveland right now. You know, he can rail at Dan Gilbert. He can rail at Kobe Altman. He does not have the support of a player of his caliber. And I think, honestly, fans in Cleveland this time, instead of burning his jersey, would be accepting of, hey, you need more, and we understand it.
Yeah, but what could he do at this point? You see him going to Philadelphia? You see him just leaving Cleveland again and going to one of these other teams, like especially in the East?
Yeah, I think his work is done there. His work was to create an NBA Finals team. His work was to bring a championship back to the land. He's done all that. And I said this yesterday when I was on with Hockman. I think he's at a point he doesn't have to be the alpha male. He's been the alpha male now for 16 years, 15 years. And if he has to step back and bring someone else along and play alongside a James Harden or a Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons or maybe alongside a Paul George in Los Angeles, I think that's eminently possible. Here's the fascinating thing to me, and I never thought I'd say this. Those other teams, is he in their best interest? In other words, if he goes to Philadelphia, is it in the best interest to take the ball out of the hands of Ben Simmons? If he tries to go to Houston and Chris Paul takes less money this year, is it the best way to take the ball out of James Harden? And even if he goes to Los Angeles and they get Paul George there, it's taking the ball out of Lonzo Ball's hands and to a degree Paul George again in the best interest. It's a fascinating case study, and I know you never want to use the phrase he left everything out there, but after last night's game, how much can this guy keep giving at that level? I think he'd like to be alongside someone and maybe not have to be the alpha male and have to get 50 points for his team to win, let alone 40.
You know, Ira, I always hear, and LeBron says, oh, I want more help, and I want to play off the ball more. He doesn't seem like it. The guy I've known forever, LeBron James, has always been the guy who wants the ball all the time. He likes having the ball and controlling everything. I don't know if he's ready to do that.
And Joe, and you saw it yesterday in the first quarter, yeah, he liked the ball a lot and he was dominant. A little bit in the second quarter. But having to do all of that early, and none of these stars really do that. When you watch these guys build their great games, they usually start slow, they seize a moment, and they're the fourth quarter finisher. The fourth quarter finisher in yesterday's game was Al Horford. It wasn't LeBron James. At 33 years old, having played 82 games this season, when they needed more from LeBron, he was like, you got to be kidding me. I already went to the locker room once with that blow to my head, hurt my neck, had to come back. Who else is out there? JR, are you out there? No. you're acting like a knucklehead. What happened to Kyle Korver with those early shots? What happened to Jordan Clarkson and Rodney Hood and Larry Nance Jr. and the other guys they got? And you start asking yourself the question of, is there anyone else alongside? And, Joe, I don't know how Cleveland finds anything. They have the number 8 draft pick, and what real assets do they have to make a move?
There's not much that you could do there at all, but I want to stay in the Eastern Conference Finals and talk about the Celtics. Are they putting the rest of the league on notice? Look at our team right now, and our two best players aren't even playing.
And that's the thing, Zach. So let's say LeBron does stay in Cleveland and says, you know what, Kevin Love has had 2, 3, 4 good games now. We'll make that work a little bit more. You're adding Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving into that mix. And so when you look at the situation right there, it's funny. I think, you know, Danny Ainge almost has too much of a wealth of riches. And what do? Do you take the ball out of the hands next season of a Tatum? Or Jaylen Brown's been terrific in this series and had his own dominant moments for Hayward and Kyrie Irving. Like everyone said, it's a problem you would be glad to have. And now there was thought that Marcus Smart had to be let go because of salary and all that. But he's such a contributor with his grit and toughness, you know, that he's adding to the mix, that they have so much that you're exactly right. If I'm the Cavs or even the Sixers or any other team, how do you beat that Colossus? I'm going to go as far as saying this. If they can integrate the other guys in there, Hayward and Kyrie Irving, you know what? We might finally have our match a year from now from the Golden State Warriors. That if you line up Kevin Durant and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, you say, no, you can't top that. You know what? If I go in with Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown, plus possibly more depth than the Warriors,
it's true.
That might be the finals we're waiting for a year from now.
Well, let me ask you about the make-believe trade. How about Leonard, San Antonio? They're going to try to trade him and get something. Sure. They don't want to lose him for like Horford and Tatum.
You know, I don't give up Al Horford because, to me, he's the glue of that team and the veteran guy who's been there. I don't make that trade. I think Jason Tatum could be Kawhi Leonard. The one thing Danny Ainge never does is he never overreaches on his trades. He's always the one who gets a draft pick and a plus one. He's been robbing the league and pillaging now for like 5, 6, 7 years for this moment. I don't think he ever sends out more. I think he sits out at the negotiating table and says, no, we can't do that, but we can do this. To me, I would almost wonder if a guy like Hayward is not expendable now, which is awful and something they would never do. But you look at the situation and you say, what does Gordon Hayward do? He hit shots. He's never necessarily been the difference maker. I would want to keep Kyrie just because I think in the moment of a close game, I still don't know which Celtic player I go to. I think they're all equally good. I think you need that one alpha in those moments against the Warriors, just like Golden State right now is going to Kevin Durant. But I don't think they're in such a rush to get Kawhi Leonard. Why get a guy who has a degenerative hip, you don't know where he's going to be, who has 1 year left on his contract, and if he wants to be the alpha male, I don't know if anyone is going to be the alpha male right now in Boston. That's what I'm curious about.
Yeah.
This is not what Kyrie Irving signed up for. Kyrie Irving signed up to get out of everyone's shadow. Could you be more in a shadow than if Boston goes to the finals with these guys? You can't walk into camp like Kyrie next year and go, okay, I'm the guy, let's get started. They're like, Kyrie, we already got started. This is a work already in progress.
Good problem to have if you're Danny Ainge going into next season, having too many good players on your team and not knowing what to do with them. And speaking about that, last night in the lottery, anything happened last night Heat-related or anything? Because I know they had nothing to do with it.
No, it was just a bad show to watch.
Outside of it being just a bad broadcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, nothing,
okay,
right?
Another one of those, let's go an hour for 4 minutes of action.
And
I know they want to stretch it out and show their personalities, but there was great playoffs to follow. They didn't have to go in that direction. What I'll say is it was good for the Heat in this respect. No Eastern Conference team made a super leap. Boston or Philly didn't get one of the top three picks like they could have. Detroit didn't move into the top three, and they already have Blake Griffin, Drummond, and Reggie Jackson. So there's no East team positioned, even Atlanta at number three, where you say, okay, one more player, and they become a contender. So no one in the East moved up. You know, when you look at it, is there a pick that the Heat could trade for? I think Cleveland could be the swing team right now if LeBron stays. They don't need a number 8 pick. They need another player. That might be available. Maybe the Knicks pick at number 9 if David Fizdale comes in and wants to win and make a move. But I think for the Heat, at least there was a status quo in the East, and that's all they could ask for. Because, guys, we've seen how far they've fallen behind Philly. We know how far they're going to fall behind Boston. if LeBron stays, they're not getting over that hill. So I think the Heat's challenge is daunting enough, let alone if a team moved up in the lottery. So of all the bad nights in the offseason for the Heat, that was one of the lesser ones.
All right, let's get back to this original. So you kind of, by the way you talk, you think this Cavs-Celtics series is over. I think it's got a long way to go. I expect, actually, the Cavs to win the next two games. Do you agree?
Joe, I would have agreed until I saw how that game turned. So let's look at it this way. Game one, Boston jumps on their throat and there's no chance. Game two, LeBron does every single thing you would want LeBron James to do. Cleveland builds a lead. They're in a position where you think they could blow them away, but they can't. And that's the thing. Boston is going to keep coming at you with waves. Now, granted, in the playoffs, they have not been the same team on the road, so that is a little bit different. That offers hope to Philadelphia with that one win. Milwaukee got their three victories. So you're right, I want to see them on the road. But this three-day layoff, this cockamamie NBA scheduling, if ever a team needed to get back on the court, it's the Cavaliers. This is not the Heat Big Three where you could say, hey, they've been there and seen it. They can deal with the three-day break. This is guys other than LeBron James who were mentally fragile. And for those guys to have a three-day layoff and not going what direction they're going, not knowing what direction they're going, including Ty Lue, I think this is really going to get in their heads. I think the Celtics could possibly stomp on them early in game three and absolutely break their spirit. The one thing we've all been wrong about is this. This Boston team without Kyrie and without Hayward is still a really, really good team.
I think J.R. Smith needs a couple days off. I think that you can't take that for granted. He played 27 minutes. He had 0 points.
And I'll tell you one thing, and that's going to be upgraded to a flagrant too, because what he did to Al Horford is unacceptable and unconscionable, and I was shocked he stayed in the game, which there was no reason for anyway. But when you push a defenseless player in the air in that situation, to me that's the textbook flagrant 2 foul, and I would expect sometime later today, tomorrow, or in the interim for the NBA to announce that also. And that's that kind of play that doesn't win any fans even on your team. Because when you lose respect for the game, this is like the Pistons walking off the court when Michael Jordan won his championships and the Bulls move forward. This is like the kind of players who don't stay to shake hands at the end of a series. Cleveland's already showing the cracks, Joe, and that's why I'm really starting to wonder.
If that gets upgraded to a flagrant two, is he going to get suspended?
No, he just two more flagrant points in the postseason, but then you get another flagrant two and you reach that point total and you're out. Although, if J.R. Smith is out, that might be a bonus to Cleveland.
Yeah, I think Cleveland would be happy with that.
Yeah.
I think Cleveland would be happy with that.
Ira.
All right, Ira Winderman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel, always powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733.
Ira, thank you, man. Take care.
And let it stop raining. Please, need to hit the fuzzy balls again. Thank you, guys.
I went against the wall just to be able to do exactly what Ira, just get over there and just went against the wall and just hit it.
You're just hitting tennis balls against the
wall?
Yeah,
by myself.
Wow.
A real loser thing to do.
I'm glad you said it because I didn't want to say it.
Just wanted to get out there and do it.
That sounds
Hey, by the way, we got something real special coming up here in the 8 o'clock hour. This is going to be the last home series for Jim Morris.
That's right.
He's had just a great, great career as a baseball coach for the Miami Hurricanes. Lots of trips to World Series, lots of regionals, right? Lots of super regionals. Just been great stuff, man. We've gotten spoiled. So Jim's going to join us coming up here in this 8 o'clock hour. This is kind of weird, man.
Last homestead.
41 years being a head coach.
It's crazy.
25 at the U. And this is your last home series.
Pretty decorated coach.
One of the winningest of all time. Way over 1,000 wins. No, just anyway, we'll talk to
1590 Jim. To be
exact. Who do you think Jim's going to say is greatest player ever had?
Oh, wow.
And by the way, you got to throw in his last job, too. Who do you think?
So since 82 at Georgia Tech? Is that what you're talking
about? He had some great players at Georgia Tech.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh, God,
some
I don't
great
know.
Great players.
Wow, that's a good question.
Say Pat the Bat?
Pat the Bat or Ryan Braun? Pat Burrell was really good, though.
He's had some.
And had the greatest name ever in a hotel when you had to call him up as a guest. No, his name is Lon Gardner.
Oh.
The single greatest name I've ever had to call a hotel and ask for.
His nickname when he was out, like he was legendary, out, a good-looking guy.
Really?
He was grabbing them three at a time.
Wow.
And the other guys just called him Bait. Greatest bait you could ever travel with. one of the greatest.
It's a good wingman, huh?
Nicknames of all time. Hey, right now when
I felt like I needed to go back to the locker room, which I did, you know, kind of recalibrate. You know, it was a tough blow, obviously incidental. Just wanted to go back to the back and make sure everything was fine, you know, but I don't think it didn't affect my game after that.
LeBron, I know you talked the first question about your injury. Were you checked for a concussion?
I was checked for multiple things, and I passed them all, so that's why I was able to come back and finish the half. How will I digest it? I'm going to go home tonight and see my three kids, see my family, recalibrate, see my mom. I think I'll be fine. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. You go out and when you lay everything on the line, you know, at the end of the day, you can live with that. So the only way I probably won't get no sleep tonight if Kev don't get a question asked, probably at the end of the day.
I'm looking at Dave. Don't do it, Dave.
So I'm going to lose a lot of sleep if someone doesn't ask him a question.
Well, nobody really wants to talk about the rest of your team, LeBron. It's all about you, man. 42 points, 16 of 29 shooting from the field, 10 rebounds, 12 assists. There is no doubt, as much as we talk about the Oklahoma City, Russell Westbrook, triple doubles, that this guy, nobody could have an easier triple double than LeBron James every night.
Well, he touched the ball enough, and his ball's always in his hands. And for his sake, I think the hardest thing is getting those 10 assists. No, I think that's the hardest thing because
guys don't make shots. No, yeah. You're right.
He's going to get his rebounds. You know that he's always under the basket. You know he's going to get his points. He got his 10 points quicker than the rest of the team did last night, so that wasn't a problem. But if his guys aren't playing and they're not shooting well, which they were not last night, it's rough. I'll tell you what, from hearing him in the beginning of that, he sounds lonely. Like, he's got no one else out there with him.
You can't have two starters play a total of 60 minutes between Hill and Smith last night and go 1-for-11.
You can't win games like that.
You just look at the balance scoring. And I think everybody agrees on this. This is no surprise that outside of LeBron James, the Boston Celtics clearly have a better roster 2 through 7 or 8. It's not even close.
Yeah.
You can go, I'd rather have him. I mean, bang, 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 right down after LeBron James, a drop-off. Even Kevin Love. There's guys I'd rather have on Boston's team.
Oh, yes.
Much better all-around players than Kevin Love.
Not even a question at that point. I mean, it's ridiculous. By the way, his 3 career playoff 40-point triple-doubles, the most in NBA postseason history.
Yeah.
LeBron.
We seem to be saying that about a lot of his numbers right now.
I know.
Like, I agree last night. How you feeling, man? You're down 2-0 going home. He goes, I'm fine, man. I can't do any more.
What else can he do?
Well, what's he going to say? Like, I'm really pissed. He's like, I'm going home, see my kids. I'm fine. Money's still coming in. Hasn't affected me. I got my championships. And we'll see what happens when we get back home. But he does need more help. He needs a lot more help from some
guy like Kyrie would help, you know, a lot.
Yeah, well, that's done. That Kyrie LeBron thing.
I still can't believe it.
I'll say another thing about LeBron. I don't know if he's easy to play with.
I'm sure he's not.
No, and I don't mean as far as being a jerk about, dude, I want you there. I just mean a guy that has the ball as much as he does and all the things he does. We heard it from Chris Bosh, like, you don't know what's like, right? And his comment was, Kevin Love, get ready. You have no idea when you're a third option what you're in for. And even Kevin Love's had to adjust his game to where he used to be real productive to we've kind of exposed his weaknesses as you know.
He can't play any defense.
Can't play
a lick of defense.
He can get rebounds, and he can, you know, do things. But
he was doing that in Minnesota, a looter and a riot. That's
look
it.
At all these guys that have put up decent numbers, they come, and they're struggling. So
George Hill is supposed to come to this team and help a lot. He had 3 points.
Those guys were actually – the reason they want them, they're all good players. They wanted to get in, and they got all those young guys that you mentioned before from the Lakers and Utah Jazz. And they
Clarkson,
just,
Nance, Rodney Hood.
Get anything out of them, really, to talk about. Their numbers from what they were getting from their previous teams to where they are now, It's a desert, man. It's not good.
Is it an accomplishment already where Cleveland is by making it to the Eastern Conference Finals, or is this something you expected to see anyway?
No.
So it's not like they're,
I don't expect
doing
it to be over.
You are still full throttle. Well,
anybody
in the series,
that thinks just because Boston's up 2-0 that it's over?
I don't think it's over.
How many times that guy that we talk
we've
about
seen
all
it.
The
we've
time
seen it.
And we've seen up it. Close, like he's playing. This might be the best he's ever played. Now, he still can't help other guys shoot and defend and do all the other stuff, but I don't know. I definitely don't expect Boston to win both games. I'm not sure they win either one.
But if they win one, you think it's over?
Yes.
They go up 3-1 in this series, it's over. It's not going to be the Golden State comeback that we saw a couple of years ago.
One thing about Boston, man, they get after you defensively, too. You know, maybe we got to give them more credit. They've got, hey.
They're a good team, a really good team.
They got one of the best all-around teams. It's been a great story. I think it's been great for the NBA instead of always just talking about the stars having these guys that were, by the way, all high first, most of them high first round picks for Boston, but they've turned out to be, man. They didn't just go, oh, we're 4, 5, 6 options, and our two star players that were expected to be our two leading scorers and best players are out. We're, no, man, they're stepping up. Horford's been a great leader, by the way.
He has been.
Right?
Yeah, he has been.
Probably don't talk enough. Ira brought it up the end of the last night. Horford was just unbelievable. Hit a big three. Knocked down most of his free throws and had a great spin move under the basket when Cleveland got within 6 points last night. So did a lot of really,
when they need
really
a bucket,
nice things.
They call Brad Stevens calls Horford's number when they need a bucket.
We got Jim Morris going to join us coming up here in about 8-9 minutes from now. We'll talk to University of Miami baseball coach as he gets set for his last home series. Man,
weird,
it's weird
to say, yeah,
weird to say, right? And that's where we are. So
I'm now intrigued though by your question about who he like who. First off, who's the greatest players coach at UM and the greatest player overall? Is it a 2-part question, or do you think that
well,
the UM answer?
Never, he's got a bunch of guys really close to him, so he's never going to say this has been my favorite guy. But it is curious, like the best player he ever had.
You think he names a couple guys?
He might though. Yeah. I thought that the most enjoyable team to watch was the Pat Burrell team because that team just hit. They hit ridiculous. They played home run derby every game. He had a bunch of good players on that team, a bunch of guys that either played in the minor leagues or got to the majors. That team was.
How about his run of NCAA the tournaments, like getting to the World Series or at least getting to the postseason?
I'm actually surprised that he's stepping down.
He's been coaching since 82, Joe.
I know, man. They have kicked my ass out. I keep
82.
Going.
82?
Yeah.
That's when he started.
No. He's so who you think he's going to say?
I think it's going to be Ryan Braun.
Ryan Braun.
Yeah.
He likes Ryan Braun a lot.
Yeah.
I don't think much of Ryan anymore these days.
No, I know that.
Hell of a baseball, hell of a player, obviously still playing. And everything else. So anyway, we'll talk to Coach about all that stuff coming up. This Lucas Glover story, by the way, everybody's got an opinion on it because it's actually a very sad story. We've been kind of laughing that his crazy wife, Krista, went nuts when he came home and shot a 78 and said, just started physically and mentally abusing the guy, telling him, here you go again. You go ahead, honey. Tell me how bad I am. Yep. You're a pussy cat.
You're a loser.
And you keep playing like this, I'm taking the kids and leaving you. This is embarrassing. Fire your coaches and the people around you. Your caddy, fire the coach. They stink. Look what they're doing to you. The mother tries to come in. She gets her ass kicked.
I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Can you imagine? I got this vision of mom going, hey, guys, please calm down. And she goes, hey, bitch, stay out of this, and starts smacking the mother. And Lucas is like trying to calm everything down, you know? And she's throwing punches and grabbing and scratching and going crazy. And meanwhile,
it doesn't stop when she gets detained.
No. But meanwhile, the 3- and 6-year-old are sitting there watching this whole thing.
That's the sad part of the story.
So now here come the police. They come. She keeps the crap show going with them. It's all in a report, including what he says to the police off to the side. It's just, she does this every time every time guys see, she does every time I don't play well or don't make a cut, I get abused when I come home, and this is how she talks to me. And guys are going, dude, you're going to lose your damn man card. Get the hell out of that relationship. And then others are going, no, the guy's trying to keep his marriage together because of those two kids. Just it's bad. Either way, man.
If every time you had a bad day at work, your wife called you a loser and threatened to beat you up,
I'd have to get out.
Okay. Just throwing that out there. Kids or no kids, you have to think about them. You really want to be in a relationship like that where they see that?
Golf? How do you think that affects his golf game every time?
Oh,
I'd be shooting a lot of 78s too if I had to go home to that and left that every day.
Just imagine.
Honey, try not to drink that whole bottle of vodka while I'm gone.
Yeah. You're on the 18th.
I would think you'd play better.
No.
It'd be a lot of pressure, that's why.
You got
Well, you missed that putt, Joe. You might get your ass kicked later.
You
missed that putt.
Life ain't good at home.
No.
The old life ain't good at home. Life's probably not real good in your professional career either.
Probably not.
Probably. Go home like he's sitting over that putt like Hollywood said, like, damn, if I miss this, I'm going to have to listen. If I don't make this cut.
A loser.
That's more pressure than Tiger chasing you. Yeah.
Maybe.
There you go. He had to get a little.
I know. I knew that was going to
happen. Act like it doesn't exist, even though he's a boss now.
You got to be careful.
Now that he's assistant program director.
That's it. Be careful. Someone else might get mad if you call Hollywood that.
All right. What else you got for me?
I will talk to Jim Morris, University of Miami baseball coach. That's coming up next year on the show. All guests appear on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved 2 blocks south of their old location. Get there now. Jim Morris next.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
All right, this is a weird one, man. Kind of saying goodbye, but I may have to go find him. I don't know if he drinks beer anymore, but Jim Morris, Canes baseball coach, joins us as he gets set for his final homestand as the head coach of the Miami Hurricanes. He joins us this morning. Jim, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing, Joe?
I'm good, man. It's kind of a weird one to talk about, though. This is, you want to change your mind and go one more year? I mean, what are you thinking? Come on.
It's bittersweet. I got to be honest. You know, it's sad, but it's the right time for me.
No, it's not. What are you saying, Alan? No, it's not, man. I know you're getting set for this, and you're doing it, but it's just so weird. You coached for 41 years, 25 at the U. Man, it's just, you know, people used to seeing you out there, man, and that low-keyed and jumping in a guy's face, but kind of privately jumping in the umpire a little bit. And I've watched you go through getting rid of the caffeine stuff. I mean, come on, man. We've been through a lot.
We have been through a lot. it's about all the fun or pain, you know, I can handle. You know, at one point you made that decision too.
Yeah.
TV, kind of the same thing.
Hey, listen, hard man, decision. It was hard. I ain't kidding. I couldn't wait to get out of there, especially, you know, they gave me that last check, as biggest check I'd ever seen in my life. But, boy, I'll tell you what, when it's finally done, you're right. Even though, like, I knew for me that was right, but you're right. It was just – damn, you know it. And so what are you going to do? Like, let's get in before we talk baseball. Like, I don't have any hobbies. Like, do you have anything you do? Like, do you enjoy fishing? Or you can't just hang out with your wife. You'll drive her nuts. You'll run her right out. You'll be looking for another wife. So what are you going to do?
She already told me. You know, I'm not sure. I really don't have any hobbies. I play
That's
golf
not good.
A little bit, but I've had two elbow surgeries since I've been here. And so it's kind of tough to play. My hobby, the closest thing I have to hobby is buying houses. I was going to be an architect. I've owned 41 houses.
Is that right?
I love
buy and sell? You mean you buy them and fix them up and sell them? Or?
Yeah, 41 of them.
Since that's awesome. So, we might have to get that. How about a reality show,
I was
coach?
About to say, HGTV, coach.
Jim Morris, reality show. You got to be a little bit of a clown and a flake and – we'll get you a young hottie in there to do it with. I mean, yeah, man, that would be great.
Oh, I watch that show, too. It's
the fixer-upper shows and all that. Jim, I could see it. I could see you doing one of these shows.
I would have never thought in a million years, like, you're recruiting. One minute you're out at Columbus High School recruiting, and then you're running over to check on a house. That'd be awesome.
Well, you know, it's just a thing that, you know, It's funny, I was going to be an architect, and so
yeah.
If I happen to have a Sunday, which is not very often, but if I have a Sunday that we're not playing or something, then I'd rather go look at open houses than play golf. So it's something I've kind of done over the years and enjoy doing it. And so it's been a good thing, to be honest with you. Something I've enjoyed, made a few bucks on the side.
Yeah, the camaraderie, huh? That's the hard part. Used to being around those guys and competing every day and going through the highs and lows, man. It's like a bad addiction, isn't it?
It is, and you know, Donna, I'll miss game day more than anything because I enjoy the competing. The game day to me is no question the best day for me. That I enjoy that, the competition, being with the players and fighting to try to win the games and win the next game. And every game is the most important game. The next game is the most important game. And being with all those guys and the coaches and the people that I've been around for a long time. So it's I've been lucky. I've had some really good players, some really good coaches, and a lot of people that have really helped you know, in the background to make things happen.
Jim, first off, I think you made the right career decision. You said you could have been an architect. I think you made a good decision by becoming a college coach. You did a pretty good job with that. You've coached for a long time. Is there any specific players, whether it was your time at Georgia Tech or here at Miami, like your favorite guys to coach? I know you don't want to pinpoint maybe one guy or so, but maybe a few guys that like you just were like you're elated to see them now and can't believe what the careers they had after playing for you.
Well, you know, that's a tough question to answer because it is kind of pointing fingers. You can ask me what's my best team I ever had, 99 and 201, we won national championships.
Yeah.
I can tell you that. Our players, you know, the All-Americans, the guys have done that. And the guy that played the game with the heart more than as much as anybody is Alex Cora, you know, and see what he's doing now.
Yeah.
But he's been a guy that, you know, that I really enjoyed being around. But there's so many good players, goodness gracious. I mean, Pat Burrow, I mean, just what he did here, and Ryan Braun, and Danny Grayson, and first year being All-Americans, and it's just so many really, really good players and good coaches that I've had. So, because if you don't have good assistants, then you're not going to win. If you don't have good players, you're not going to win. So it's a combination of both things. But I don't even know how I could name.
Yeah.
Only named the 10 best players. I don't know how I could do that. I've had so many good players. I'm very fortunate to. Used to be around a lot of good people.
Yeah, I always wondered just to do it a little differently. How about the most dominant season where you sat back and from start to finish, like even you're going, God, he's got a cool off. There's nobody can hit like, and he's gone through a whole year. What would be the most dominant season you saw out of any of your players?
Well, we can both name that easy.
Yeah.
That's an easy thing.
It's our guy, the
boy.
Bait. Yeah.
That's your boy from the Bay Area, right? Pat was unbelievable from the day he walked in here. For the first time he hit on the field, I'm going, oh, my goodness, look what we got. And he hit 484, I think it was, his freshman year.
God.
And he hit 500 in practice. I've never seen anything like it since then or before then. And I've been around a lot of good players. But that season was particularly his freshman year. I know he won the Golden Spike his junior year. But his best year was his freshman year, really. I mean, and he hit over 400. I don't know his exact stats as a career, but unbelievable what he did.
Jim, as good as he was on the field, his stories with the women, good-looking son of a gun, legendary. When they nickname you the bait, I mean, and the other players go, he's like I was in that Phillies locker room, the clubhouse, and those guys are going like, oh, he's legendary. What he brings in 3-4 in the morning, it's legendary. He bring in nurses 3 at a time. It was I mean, it was incredible, Jim. I don't know how you answered that.
I'm not going there. I wasn't in that locker room.
Yeah.
So you're with him walking in, it sounds like to me.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I was chasing him. I was 2 steps behind him. I can tell you that. Hey, Jim, a couple other things. You know what? I've noticed, and you and I through the years have talked about the recruiting and connections you had in California. Get some of those great players. You just mentioned some of them from California and everything else. The biggest change, and through the years, I thought you did as well as anybody, but I think it's really hard to do now. You were able to get guys, not necessarily were first and second round picks you knew were going to turn pro, so you recruited them, but you knew you weren't going to get them. You got those guys where the money dropped off and guys go, nah, it's not enough money. I'm going to go to college and play, and then I'll wait, and I'll get to be a better player. And now, Jim, the money these guys are getting, even in fifth and sixth round picks, they can't turn it down. They're all turning pro now. Is that the biggest difference you've seen in the recruiting?
Well, actually, I mean, the guys are getting more money, but there's more players going to college that were drafted than there ever has been. And I think the guys are seeing that. Of course, the first round guys are getting, you know, tons of money.
Stupid.
But
yeah.
But more guys are going to college. College baseball is the best it's ever been.
Oh, that's good to hear. Good.
Yeah, I mean, it's the best it's ever been. And there's slot money. So you know how much you're gonna, if you're drafted in the fifth round, you know how much you're gonna get ahead of time, and you decide that you can make that decision. And for me, I mean, I know the odds of making it in the big leagues are slim, and so we work hard to get guys to come to school. Gino does a great job as my recruiting coordinator and an associate head coach. Of course, the head coach come to end of this season, he'll be the head coach here in Miami, and the recruiting has changed so much. And the fact is, you're recruiting kids at such an early age now, and guys are committing the ninth and tenth grade to different schools, and you're forced to recruit young kids that, to me, aren't really ready to make that decision, but they're being forced to make that decision.
Yeah,
and that's a thing. But everybody's the facilities are better. I mean, we go to Virginia Tech, who had never won really anything to speak of. And they just spend, you know, $20 million on their facilities. It's unbelievable.
How much,
you know, Florida's getting ready to spend $50 million, not 15, but $50 million on theirs. And there's so many great facilities, and people are flying now instead of busing, and they're chartering planes, and they're doing all kind of stuff. I mean, it's amazing how much the game has improved in 25 years since I've been at Miami.
Two-time College World Series champion, four-time ACC Coach of the Year. You set a record by going, what, to the College World Series in each of your first 6 years in Miami, 11 of your first 15 seasons you went to Omaha. With all those accomplishments, is it bigger that you had a shake named after you at Mark Light, more than all that?
Yeah, that is. Yeah. I had to quit drinking.
I mean, that's a huge accomplishment. Coach, all those accolades I just gave you, you got a shake named after you. That's pretty big.
Yeah, well, that's nice. It's a small one, though. I can't drink it so much, but the shakes are great. No quite legendary shakes here, and there are so many great things at Miami, great people, and you know, I'm gonna plan on being around here and doing some stuff and be involved. You know, and for sure being at you know, the athletic events and doing stuff. So it's gonna be fun. I've got a 6-year-old son, as you guys know, and. So I'm enjoy watching him. He's playing on a baseball team and playing golf and playing tennis, doing different things. But that's a different deal too, man. The world changes when that happens.
Oh man, I'm going. Boy, I tell you, I'm going at 60, going to a high school graduation myself with my second batch here. Jim, I know. I don't even want to try to add up your years. What you're looking at for that high school graduation, my man.
I just hope I'm there. You know, I'm watching David Letterman, which I enjoy. I love watching him on TV. He is 62. He has a kid. I'm going, what is he thinking about? Well, I know now.
Now you know.
That's it.
Now you know. Now you know the. Now you know the program. Hey, real quickly, on this team you have, I know got off not the kind of start. All of a sudden, you've won 8 straight. You've got this home series, and then you got the ACC tournament. How well do you have to play to have a chance? What would you say the goals are right now to have a chance to get back to the playoffs again?
Well, I think we got to win the tournament personally.
Okay.
I mean, our RPI is 59, I think it is. So we had a big game last night, could have moved our RPI up because Stetson's
really good. Yeah.
Good year. We played 4.5 innings, and the bottom fell out, and the lightning and everything. We ended up not playing the game. Past that, but I really think we got to win the tournament. I mean, no question, we need to win the games at home this weekend against Boston College. Take care of business going in there. If you can go in, you know, an 11 game winning streak, that's important. Play good and get to the finals. Then I don't know, you know, maybe. But
yeah.
But you know, I thought we should have got in last year. I got to tell you, I really thought I haven't said that on the air in public, but I thought we should have got in last year. And if we can do that, but I just think I know one thing: we need to seal the deal. That means you win the tournament. We've won the tournament before a few times as a coach. I've won it 5 times, and it's something we got to do.
Jim, it's been great having you, man, and good luck. I'm glad you're staying in South Florida. Good luck with everything. You've always been unbelievable with me, so thank you so much. You've always welcomed me around your program. I've had some of the best times laughing and goofing with your guys, so thank you so much for everything, and good luck to you and your family.
Well, thanks, Joe. I've enjoyed being around you two, even though you busted me a few times in the dugout with the players, but I had a good time doing it.
Yeah, so. Listen, man, don't get me all choked up. I don't want to do that. That's not the end, man. That's I don't want to do that NBC thing again. But hey, listen, you know what? You gotta find one more hobby, though. You got to find something. I mean, the house is making money. I know you like your money and stuff. We all do. But you thought about a little fishing boat or something? I would have figured you'd have fish a little bit.
Nah, I look at the ocean every day when I wake up. I'm afraid to jump in the water. Shark. I'm from North Carolina, and I don't hunt. I don't fish. I don't chew tobacco, and I don't like race car driving. So I don't know what happened to me.
Jeez.
I don't know what happened to me.
Were you from Malibu or something? Man, that's crazy. Right. Jim, thank you, buddy.
Thanks,
appreciate
Jim.
It.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck
thanks
with everything.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. Jim Morris.
Well, look at that. Legend.
Jim good sport, Morris. Man.
Yeah.
Great to
final
be around.
Homestand. That's got to be weird for Jim.
Yeah. You could tell.
Yeah.
This is where you get going, you know, why do I could just stay? You got this good, young, talented team. Hell, it could be a lot better. How about one more
year? Let's do one more.
Yeah. No, you can't go back on that. Anyway, we got 9 o'clock hour coming up. We'll get to a lot more stuff. And Pat the Bat, I knew that was coming.
You're right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.